Record button. The timer is moving. It is 5:33, so I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Thanks everybody for coming out on a dark December evening and spending your evening with us here at PTAC. Bart, would you take the roll call, please?
Yes, Nathaniel.
Here.
Mike Williams has an excused absence. Doug.
Here.
CD.
Here.
The other Michael Williams has an excused absence. Sarah?
Here.
Peter?
Here.
And Kyle?
Here.
So we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I will make a motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Nathaniel seconds.
Nathaniel seconds. Any objection to approving the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda for December 12th, 2024 is approved. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of November
14th, 2024. I make a motion to approve.
I'll
second that motion. Does anybody know the name of this second person? I put a question mark.
No, they didn't fill out the
log. They did, I just couldn't read it.
Okay, well, I think that the best effort off of the log.
Okay. And but I thought maybe somebody might know the person. Okay. Because sometimes
right, like,
people
that's
come
my friend.
And
yeah.
Then you know
right.
Who they are.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, with that, any objection to approving the minutes as written? Hearing none, the minutes of November 14th, 2024 are approved. I will read the public involvement announcement. Audience participation at this meeting is limited to the public comment section of the agenda. However, the chair may open any agenda item for public comment. Written comments will be addressed first, then verbal comments on a first recognized basis by the board chair. Each commenter should state their name so it can be recorded in the minutes. Commenters will have 2 minutes to speak on each agenda item they wish to comment on. With that, we will move on to new business, the J-Bear transportation options, which is an information item.
That's me. Okay, so last meeting, last month, we briefly discussed exploring some potential routes that either could get added or different opportunities for transportation either to and from or from the city onto base. So I spent a little bit of time calling around and just seeing what already exists, what options are there that we could pursue. And I know the board members all have a document in front of them that just kind of briefly describes all of my notes. I don't know if there are any over there for members of the public that would like to look at it. But in short, as things stand right now, the Public Transportation Department does not have any service onto base. And there are two existing, two main entry points that people would use. Actually, let's see here. For the two different sides of base, you have Elmendorf that has Post Road, the Boniface Visitor Center, and Muldoon. And then you have Richardson, which most of the gates are closed. Arctic Valley is closed. Richardson isn't accessible unless you're already on base, and then Government Hill. That said, the existing routes that are close that might be able to receive some adjustments would be People Mover 92. That's the Eagle River route. You might be able to step off the highway briefly to have a stop at the gate. But then that would require turning around and getting back on, moving to Eagle River, because that's the commuter route. 31 is neighborhood focused, and it's nearby in kind of like the Russian Jack Park area. And you could extend that out towards base, specifically the Boniface entrance, maybe. And then as you start to stretch a little bit further out, you start to add 25 and 41, which are less likely. Other than that, we do have rideshare access to base. Uber and Lyft each have 100 vehicles allowed on base each. And they're also outside of Anchorage piloting programs like Lyft's base mode to see if they can get more drivers access to base in the future. Additionally to that, Yellow Cab the Alaska Yellow Taxi has a special agreement already. Possibly some other taxi services, but primarily that is the one that gets you to and from base. Some other possible scenarios for dependent transit for military personnel always will require some kind of DBIDS credential, which is Defense Biometric Identification System, wow, or your DOD, so Department of Defense. So everybody who would get on a bus, should we develop a route, would need to confirm that they have these credentials. So if we were to pursue that option, are there other existing models like this? Yes, the Army YMCA shuttle does have a potential framework that we could use, but that is exclusively for individual members of the Army when they arrive from the airport directly to base. Other than that, looking at other options from the city, ASD is already navigating base protocol, and they're on the base basically every single school day. So they have to check all of the identification for the students. They have a system for ensuring that new students that move on to base have the credentials they need, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, it's not just that they have buses that operate the bus. They do carry students through one of the gates.
Correct.
Okay.
So that, I called Heather over there and started exploring that. She said she was going to get back to me with more info. I've yet to hear that. So that said, we could create a contract with the base to get access, and the base itself already has protocol for mass transit onto and off of base. So really all it would be is essentially filling out a form, but that also requires the Public Transportation Department to create an internal process to meet the base's standards. So again, security checks for all passengers with DBIDS and DOD credentials. And then finding some kind of service stops. If we were to go all the way on base, where would we stop? Potentially visitor centers, if you just got to the gate and then let them figure it out from there. Or you take people all the way in to key housing locations or recreation areas as defined by the base. So from this point on, what would be helpful is from the public, any suggested stops on base, or like what kind of connections would actually be practical. Maybe we add something like this to our surveys that we offer to the public, just to start getting some ideas from them. From the Public Transportation Department, how much of a barrier getting some kind of credential verification process would be, especially if we have people, like how would we want to navigate that? What kind of process would we have? And then from PTAB, if this is something we want to pursue, is this something that we want to dig into a bit more? What questions do you have? Do we just want to promote rideshare and have that be something that's like on the website or printed at the bus stops? Is there a way that we could do van pools maybe on base if that doesn't already exist, or some kind of like paratransit option? So for the moment, that is everything that I have. I guess open it up to the board first for questions, comments.
Yeah, so Bart, I remember talking with you briefly about the alternative transit options on Eagle River. There's that proposed project on the previous People on the Move plan that had a rideshare style service. Would you speak briefly as to what that project was and maybe how that was potentially in plans to try and have a pseudo rideshare service that would deliver some services in Eagle River, since that also seems like it may be a more easy option as far as the credentials and verification would go to do that per small section there.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the microtransit thing. It kind of operates like an Uber or Lyft, but it's open to the general public, operated with our smaller vehicles, like 20-foot vehicles. And it would be app or phone-based. People would request a ride. We would go pick them up, We would pick up other people along the way, and then we would go drop them off. And so it's sort of like an Uber or Lyft, except for it's a shared ride. It takes a little bit longer. And it's good for where you have not a lot of density, a lot of space. For a fixed route, going one way doesn't collect enough people. It allows, but it's not too busy that it gets too full and takes you forever to get to where you want to be. So,
they are fixed routes?
What's that?
They are fixed routes?
They are not, no.
So why is it different than?
It's just an area. Right. So imagine like an area like geo-fenced, and that this bus can only go in this area, but it'll go anywhere in this area. So if you call it over there, I'll go over and pick you up. And if I'm dropping you off over here, I may pick up Kyle.
Sure.
And then, so it's just, it's
so
very
flexible.
How is
it different from Anchorage?
In the sense that it's open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anybody could call it. And it's on demand. Anchor rides, you have to schedule
sure.
a day in advance.
Yeah. Okay.
There has been some.
But very similar.
Yeah. There have been like parts of Canada that have really leaned heavily on that microtransit. And when they've like leaned primarily on microtransit, it seems like there's a trade-off there that it doesn't scale as well as like fixed route service does. And so it really fits a key kind of like puzzle piece of filling areas that have that lower density that have like kind of sparse routes. It's not currently implemented, but it was on our people on the move plan that you know, we're looking at maybe reworking the new year, and it could be something that we as the PTAP board would say, hey, if this is something that we're thinking of in the next Transit on the Move plan, could that be something that would be required? Since if I understand that right, that would also be operated by another vendor similar to Anchor Rides, right?
Most likely. Yes, at least to start. Yeah.
Right. And so that could be part of the conversation with that, is that if a project like that starts, what are the trade-offs? And if like the base transportation is a major priority for the public, maybe we lean in more one direction than the other, since that may open up more opportunities for that being a way for people to access space as well.
And it requires CDL and passenger endorsement?
If we operate it with a smaller bus, no. It does not require any of those special licenses, no.
So it's mentioned in Totem now, in our last Totem?
It is for the Eagle River area and South Anchorage.
Oh, I just forgot, I guess.
Yeah.
It was very low on the list.
Very low. We are ordering vehicles mm-hmm. to do a pilot project in 2026.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So this could be, you know, like you said, in Transit on the Move update, we could change the area.
Right.
But we do have to decide an area where we want to do a pilot project in 2026 with it.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a potential with that, that if it were to, say, stick with the Eagle River area, trying to expand it to that closest base access point, but then that would mean that anyone who is trying to use that as a connection would have to take the 92 out and then get a connection with microtransit on, which is less accessible for many people. So, but could it be that the priorities of the community would be that, you know, that would be base service would be prioritized otherwise? Or is a majority of the base traffic coming from Eagle River anyway, since there's a huge population of military families on there, and giving them another transit option?
Yeah, I would like to find out what the community need is. You know, is
yes.
it kind of your 8 to 5
mm-hmm.
Traffic, or is it throughout the day? What does that look like? And then that'll give us a roadmap, if you will, to figure out how we advocate or what advice we give on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this report's great. Thanks for pulling this together. It's gathering that community feedback in multiple different ways mm-hmm. to make sure that all the different styles are captured. So the ridership survey generally has like its standard set of questions, so you're comparing apples to apples, right? So something
yeah, there
like
is a question like, is there a place that you want to go that we don't go?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the survey is that it's doing existing riders, right?
Right.
So if it's
right.
already going
right.
somewhere that you're not wanting to go, you're probably not on the bus. You know, mm-hmm. you're just capturing existing bus riders. So I would recommend, if we're going to update Totem next year, that has a big public involvement component, maybe we do specific outreach to the base,
mm-hmm.
and even like we could do like direct mailers to everybody that lives on the base, and just
yeah.
and
yeah.
do some targeted research that mm-hmm. way as part of that overarching program, but
I'm not sure.
I would say try to do that sooner. I mean, right. Because we've got this specific focus on this now. I mean,
I like the idea of getting to it sooner, but I also think that a lot of these potential solutions where they are moving routes, a lot of that would require, or I would assume would be like along the lines of a totem project regardless. So either like a change to our current plans or something like that. And so while we could do it earlier, the resources are going to be put behind like the research for totem. And that is like the tool that we have the most input on to try and solve the problem. So maybe aligning it with that. But I really love the idea of being able to get, you know, more solutions faster.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a better effort to like make sure we have our ducks in a row to present this as
always
as totem, or like our whatever our next totem thing is, instead of putting a lot of effort in faster, only to have it change with totem like 12 months later and have to completely reconfigure it. But I'm willing to bet it will take that long just to figure out the feedback piece and the best way to get that. Did you say it was 26 or 25?
The pilot project, hopefully in 2026. But Totem is updating next year, 2025.
Okay, so that's...
kicking off soon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really not far.
But I was just thinking, like, I don't have a sense of, are there people who live on the base who would want to come off the base on public transportation? I just don't have a sense of that. Now, maybe there's like a liaison person
right
at the base and just say, do you... have you heard anybody ever talk about this?
Right.
I mean, being a military, there's like got to be some level of somebody who knows something, you know. And it's my guess. I mean, I knew somebody that was running for office, and that was covered in his district, and it was kind of hard to. They have rules about canvassing over there, but they did have liaison people where you could try to gather information through that person or disseminate. Anyway, I don't know if there's somebody, maybe you called over there.
I see.
So like it would really, just be the security.
Yeah, so really directed, targeted, instead of like trying to start,
trying to
do that mailers like earlier.
I guess I just mean, yeah.
Start the conversation sooner rather than the mailers.
Right.
Yeah. I can try and find a contact on the base and see if there is someone like that that would be like a liaison.
Okay. I can give you that phone number.
Okay.
The thing that we run into working with people with disabilities is we've run into a number of situations where the feds hire people with disabilities, but then they say, well, the transportation isn't our problem.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of like, well, you knew they didn't drive. And so now there is no way to get them here. and so, and it becomes, they can't ride, take a cab every day. It's just not an option, you know. They're starting out below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
And in a year or two, they might be able to do this kind of transportation thing. But they might even be able to afford a car because this is a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't right now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so having public transportation available to go on base or some kind of option, and they do have, you know, oh, there's vans, oh, there's this kind of thing. They're not accessible. You know, you've got somebody who's deaf, or you have somebody in a wheelchair or something like that. A lot of those things just, and...
Thanks, Doug.
It's a challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So... Nathaniel, do you need any assistance with this moving forward? Because we're certainly going to revisit this, like check in about this on the regular. What are next steps and how can the board assist on that front?
If we want to submit some kind of recommendation for Totem, I don't know if we need a formal document for that, or like if we need to be ready for 2025 coming around the corner here, do we need to have that ready for next? If so, what needs to be on it?
Okay.
That's really, like, what's the formal paperwork stuff? Okay. I feel like I have enough information. I have people handing me forms to sign to create contracts to go on base.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, let's not do that.
I'm not an authorized signer.
So, Bart, say we were to draft a resolution, do you think it would be most helpful for that to be really targeted at Totem or just a general like resolution saying we would like to see more transportation on base?
It really could be either.
Okay.
Whatever you guys say. The committee cannot direct staff to do anything, but you could say we support the idea or we would love to explore military-based options during the next Totem update or something like that.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to maybe have it be broad and flexible, but have an element of it be like, this would be
potentially
great
in
Totem.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
I can have that drafted by next.
Excellent.
Also, just a quick side note, Bart, if you're writing down notes for different audiences, technically there would be, in my own research, just figuring this out, the younger military personnel don't usually have vehicles when they first get onto base.
Mm. So yeah.
That's one. Two is there's also this whole category of recreational access.
Yeah.
So members of the public can get permission without DBITS, I believe, or without a DOD in order to get access on base. Visitors can also have access. That's something different. And then the last one is dependents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the air show and the like 3-hour line.
Right. there's like big events like that that we could potentially
do. That we've always had to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This may open the door to allow us to do that.
Cool.
Yeah. So
Maria's back there, but Anchorage Chamber of Commerce has a military community that connects community interests with the military. So that's good.
Cool.
Yeah,
for
the committee meeting.
Nice.
Cool. All right, great. Thanks for your work on this.
Great. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, wonderful conversation, everybody.
Yeah. Okay, with that we will move on to the passengers passed up. Agenda item. Is that
yours? This is on your table, this little spreadsheet. In the last conversation, we were talking about things you can bring on bus and whether or not you get rejected when you get on the bus. This is the information that we have. I will preface this with many things about the data. One, it is only the number of times the bus operator called it in that they passed somebody up. And two, it is only the number of times that the bus operator called it in and then dispatch logged it in the computer. So there are two things that have to happen in order for us to get this data. So I would say that this is not 100% accurate. But in 2024, we've passed up 16 people. Here are the reasons that we know. As you can see, a number of them are unknown, but several of them are passenger reported, and that is just the driver did not stop, and that is not the driver calling in, that is the rider calling in after the fact. So we don't have a lot of information as to why they're passed up, but these ones, the driver did not stop is not for any other reason than what the passenger had with them, but just for whatever reason. So I know that this is probably underreported, but this is the information we have, so that's what I bring it to.
What's the method to report if the bus passes you?
The driver is just supposed to pick up the radio and call dispatch.
If they didn't see you or he didn't, what's the passenger do?
Oh, they usually call customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can do that. Some of them Facebook us, you can text us, but
either
way, we'll get it to dispatch to record if they do that.
Yeah, I can recognize a couple of the dates on here are the ones that I called in.
For the reasons, is that a controlled vocabulary, so you have an option from these, or it's...
It's a fill-in-the-blank option in our software, and that's probably why some of them are not filled in.
Can we fix that?
No. I know.
No.
It is something that we asked our vendor, and it is not an option. But they did say that they would take that back to their engineering department.
So this includes both where the operator called in or where the passenger, the unpassed.
But they don't. You don't know.
Right.
Don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
I was about to be really proud, like, oh, thanks for owning up to that. That's great. I
wonder what.
I did not stop.
I didn't want to. I mean, chances are where they say the driver did not stop, I'm hoping that it's just that the driver did not see them. It's mm-hmm. dark, so they couldn't have called it in.
Right.
But if they, if they knowingly refuse a ride or pass somebody up, they're supposed to call it in.
Okay. We don't glean a lot from this report.
No. Yeah, you should have.
I have opinions about the vendor that won't let you. my stats evaluation brain is like, okay.
We are looking at different modules for complaint and incident reporting because this is not very flexible for us.
Yeah.
Would this include, I remember when I lived at a different place, the stop was not under a light. And I got passed a few times.
Yeah.
So that would include that. If I had called in and said, hey, this bozo didn't even see me. Okay.
Yeah, but chances are the driver did not call it in because...
Right, no, they wouldn't have.
He didn't know that he passed,
If he saw
passed,
he would have stopped.
But yes.
Yeah. Okay. We will take this information and... That does. I mean, it informs that conversation a little bit. Anecdotally, do drivers have? I mean, if we were to put out like a Microsoft form survey to bus operators, like, I don't know if that really does anything. And by we, I mean you.
Yeah.
that's like, hey, have you ever had to pass someone because they had something with them that they couldn't bring on the bus?
Oh, that question.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, this is where this is all leading to. We could put out a survey. The response rate is generally pretty low with bus operators because we can't mandate them take it, and they don't check email. So it would just be, whenever they had time to come in and out. But bus operators get paid by the minute. So it's not like a regular office worker where you can come in at 7 o'clock, you can check your email, you can do this.
Yeah.
It's they get paid from clock in, and we time them on how long it takes to walk to the car. They get no extra time to do any administrative stuff. So they're like, I'm not getting paid for this. It's not part of my job. I'm not going to do it, which,
that's
fair.
Plus, you can't really have, mandatory meetings because they're all out on the roads.
Yeah, well, we do have safety meetings every month. And they're required to attend 6 of the 12, but they get to pick which 6 of the 12. So they're not even all in one month.
This early in the morning? And when you...
No, they're every hour on the hour for 2 full days. So it accommodates.
Yeah, you can't just stop all service.
No. Right. Yeah, it's tough to get all the operators together.
Yeah. We're very safe. We aren't moving.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That... I think we'll pick that back up in January and brainstorm it in the meantime. So thanks for pulling that together. Next up, we've got PTAB meeting location. Is that you again?
I think so. I don't know what we're going to talk about City Hall. City Hall, we start in January, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the next one, February, the meeting room is not available already in February. So the question is, do we want to try and get the mayor's conference room on the 8th floor, or do we want to move that meeting? Do we want to meet here? What would you like to do?
I mean, I would prefer to be in the same building.
Yeah.
The con with the mayor's conference room is the elevator. We have to have somebody escort everybody up. So it could be a slow process, but doable.
We could try it out for 1 month.
Can I say something?
Yes. Sorry. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. First, I want to say thank you so much for that Route 40. And my mind, because I'm almost 94, so I can't remember too many things. But anyhow, I live on the I Street. So, before I bought the condo, because the bus will stop right front in the condo. That's why I bought it, that condo. So now, the two line buses come to I Street. So I'm really happy.
Excellent.
Sure, appreciate it.
Okay. Actually, our public comment section is at the very end. So right now we're talking about where we're going to meet in February. So would you mind holding your comment until the end of the meeting? And then you'll get your full 2 minutes.
I can't understand. My hearing's not that great. Anyhow, yeah. I should appreciate it that when I moved from Fairbanks 24 years ago, and I Street, because the bus will go there, because you know I'm going to be old, that's why I like to people mover stop. So anyhow, right now that the two line will come to I Street, so I'm so happy. And they used to go to the Diamond Center for shopping. I have to walk 5 blocks to get the bus to get to the Diamond Center, but now I have a 2 line to go Diamond Center, so I'm so happy.
Excellent.
I don't have to walk too much.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, and going to the base, you don't have to go all round. Just go to the BX and the Kamsari.
Okay.
Because most of the people and refill medication, you have to pick it up at the BX. So because I can't drive anymore, they told me because my hearing, I'm going dizzy, so doctor told me not to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to walk all the time. That's why I'm still standing like this. Yeah, so appreciate it, and the bus will go to Jeff the BX and a concert.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's good enough, actually.
Is there a preference from the board on whether or not it would be to change the location on that same day or to see if we can move it to a different day?
And then I have to
pull back on all of
the bus. Do you want a sweater? Do you want a sweater?
Yeah. Well, how much?
What? Free.
Oh, free?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What size?
I don't know.
Let's say small. Nobody with retail experience.
See, I'll move in a day or two. Yeah. That doesn't affect my schedule at all coming here.
Yeah, does anyone else have any restrictions as attendance when it comes to that? Like, I know for me, I've seen it where it's like, oh, well, my Thursdays start stacking up.
I can't have Monday. It can't be Monday night or Friday night.
Yeah.
For me, it has to be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Right, I would almost be thinking of just pushing it a week to the Thursday after. Just,
oh, well, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that won't be a problem.
I think that
you
would...
You don't have a small, medium is okay.
I have extra small.
Bunch of stuff right inside.
And no medium.
I'm
so extra small or large?
No.
Give her
the extra small or large.
Small.
Try this.
Extra small.
Try this one, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. But so it'll be available if we push it to the next week?
It's only that specific day that it's not available.
Oh, of course.
Would have been the 9th.
Wait.
So we'd be moving to the 16th of January if we moved it to the next Tuesday.
It would be the February one, right?
Yes,
right,
you're correct. We are in February. That's the one we're talking about. So it'd be the 20th of February.
Oh, right, February.
Yeah, it's February, that is.
Yeah.
Oh, so we would have met on Valentine's Day.
Right.
No,
the day
the
before.
13th.
Yeah.
Not Valentine's
Day. I mean, I like the idea of keeping it on a Thursday just for brain organization.
Yeah.
But I know sometimes like that's how people do their meetings is, oh, but on the third Thursday I have.
Yeah. And I had the same thing with my community council. We always met on Thursdays. Oh, there's an election that Thursday. We're just going to move it to the next week. And
Right. Everyone
already has that day blocked off. It's just a week after.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thursdays.
You mean the 20th?
Yeah.
Of February, yes. Would be. Is that an available date? I don't know how real time you are able to check that part.
I'm trying to get it right now.
The calendar for that conference room is very big.
What do you mean big?
So I don't know if that's how they do it there, but some of the other new departments still have like a calendar.
20th of February.
That room has all of the calendar events for every single event that happens in that room. So you'll open it and I'll have to download a copy of every event that happens.
Can we just have it the next Thursday? Because that also gives us 2 months to like send out the notices of like, it's a different day.
Yeah.
Than usual. Okay.
It's the 20th.
Yes.
So this is an action item, so it'd be good if you guys,
I'll entertain a motion to, I actually can't make the motion.
Yeah, a motion to move the meeting of February to February 20th, I think is what it was.
I'll second that motion.
All right, move it to the 20th of February by Kyle, seconded by Peter. Any objection to moving our February meeting from February 13th to February 20th? Hearing none, our meeting will be on February 20th in February.
Works for me.
Okay, great. Next up, we've got directors and operations updates.
Okay, bear with me for a second. I thought since this was the last meeting, I would share some of the things that all of our division managers were most proud of for 2024. Ooh. So I have a little bit of a list of everything that they told me this morning that they were proud of. But I won't read it off. But I think it's worth noting because a lot of it is things that we don't get to talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. So for Anchor Rides, April was most excited about for all the community outreach that they have been doing to engage seniors. They go and have lunch with seniors on a regular basis at the senior centers to answer questions. They opened a booth at the job center that helps people with youth with special needs who are getting ready to enter adulthood.
Nice.
To live an independent life. So they've done an amazing job community outreach. Sandra is part of that team, so thanks to her. And then also they have really geared up their communication with the writers with sending out postcards and cleaning up the missed or skipped trips or people with no-shows that really, when somebody calls and reserves a ride and doesn't show up for that ride, it takes a ride from somebody else, right? So they're trying to clean that up and that's really been helpful. With operations, staffing is getting better. So in 2024, they hired 25 drivers. They have, I think they have 6 vacancies right now.
That's way down.
Yeah, way down. They've hired 14 people just in the last 6 months.
Wow.
Which is really good. They are filling all of their admin positions for supervisors, dispatch, and a new admin person. They also have cut their workman's comp claims in half last year.
Nice.
Which is really good. What else do I want to say here? They're coordinating with maintenance. This is also a maintenance win too, but maintenance is reorganizing their schedule to help attract and retain workers. Right now, they're required to work weekends. Mm-hmm. But we have half the service operating on the weekends. So we're rearranging the schedule to make more of them work during the weekdays so that more people have the weekend off. And in doing so, it allows maintenance to put people in the bus barn where the buses are in the morning.
During service.
Well, as bus operators are pulling out of the garage, if there's issues, they can communicate one-on-one with the mechanics. And so there's not a disconnect anymore between, oh, this bus is having a problem, and the mechanics are developing relationships with drivers. So that is going to be a big one that we put in place now, but we're going to set it forward in 2026. And then security falls under operations. We have severely reduced the number of calls we've made to APD and the Anchorage Community Patrol as a result of security. I'm waiting on exact numbers of that, but I want to report a whole security suite one month. But we hired more guards, and they are now riding the buses and driving. And I think it's been a big impact on the service and people feeling safe while riding. Customer service. Their big win is in IT when we had bought a piece of software and it was not installed right, and we got no support from the vendors. And so they have, with the help of IT, developed effective workarounds and kind of maintained positive throughout this whole thing. As you can imagine, getting a new piece of software at work and not having it work correctly, and then being asked to use it every single day. They have done that, and that is a big win. That's a big thing on them. They took over 10,000 phone calls last year, and they made $1.3 million in sales just at the customer service office. That doesn't include anything on the bus or in ticket or anything else.
And that's with it not being at the transit center.
That's 4 blocks away.
Yeah, that's impressive.
They also process over 1,000 half-fare applications, and they relocated their entire office
in a couple days.
In a month and a half time to reopen the downtown transit center, and everything moved over with them, and they did that, like, you know, they did all of that. They coordinated the movers, you know, we worked with them on getting what they needed, and so big shout out to that staff there, and they are fully staffed, and that's a big win there too. For maintenance, we got a lot of new buses, and so the turnaround time from when we get a bus in to when it gets on the road got down to a week, which is really great. It's a great turnaround that they were able to do. They successfully got two new positions by convincing me to add them to the budget. They're going to have two more positions in Wash Bay to help detail our buses, because right now a bus gets detailed once every 30 days, which is not very often. This will be a bus every 15 days. So it's still not to where we want it to be. And detailing means, you know, a detail, full clean. All the buses get wiped down every day on the inside, but like a full detail. We'll double the frequency of that. They also are doing some great community service projects. One thing I just learned about is that they donate old engines to a UAA class that teaches people how to rebuild engines. And these are engines that we would typically just put in the dump.
But that's cool.
That coordination, so these kids get to learn on these engines, and they actually get a second life. So we just donated 7 of them, which is really great. And they take on that, and they coordinated that themselves. You know, it's just our maintenance superintendent doing that, which is really cool. Yes, and then for planning, which is my section, primarily it's the service change. Even though it was tough on the public, it was hard work to determine what routes got cut, and it's never a good decision. But it did allow us to right-size our staffing levels to the point now where we have not canceled any trips due to not having a driver. Mm-hmm. We have reached our lowest overtime rate that we've ever had. We're not forcing anyone to work anymore. And we hope that has a positive impact to retain drivers so that we can build up the service. The good news is once we maintain our driver level at the level it should be, we can bring back the service on the 25 without asking the assembly for additional money, usually when you add service. But we have it already in our budget. Mm-hmm. We just need the drivers. And in order to do that, we need happy drivers, and we need them to stick around, and we need them to be retained. So I think that is the biggest win. And then with our marketing team and our business development team, which is Maria, we have engaged more people and more organizations last year than we ever have. We have translated more material into other languages than we ever have before. That's because we've been fully staffed and we've focused on doing outreach to where people are instead of holding traditional public meetings, come here and talk to us. They are out in the streets, at organizations, at meetings. And so I think that's a really big win for all of us. So that's it, just wanted to use my time tuning our little horn for one meeting. Yeah, happy to take any questions.
That's great.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
And we will be developing a system report card like we always do. Hopefully it will come out in February-ish, and we'll put some of this in there as well. My other report? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I just have two questions.
Okay, go ahead.
It might be covered. Is there any, you know what, actually go ahead with what you're going to say, because My questions are not on the recap of the year.
Oh, okay. So my only thing was that CD and Mike Williams are on the agenda for the 17th to be reappointed.
Okay.
So that's it. No other new people yet.
Okay. That was your whole update?
That's it.
Oh, okay, great. Is there any movement on the in-house CDL training, understanding that is like a 5-year thing, and we're on like month 3 of asking, so like early?
Yes, yeah. Trying to remember my last update, but where it is now is we are working on getting the credentials to issue the passenger endorsement. So our operations team feels like there are a lot of people in the city who has a CDL license already, they just don't have a passenger endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is hard and expensive to get. So we are getting the credentials to offer that in-house, and that's the easiest part of that. And I think we're about halfway to understanding what that means. We already have a person identified who will be our in-house trainer. Yes. And then, so once we understand that process and we start the paperwork, then we go to HR and we change the position that we can hire somebody without a passenger endorsement with the expectation that they'll get one within, you know, 6 months of being hired or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'd say we're 50%, overall 25% there.
Okay.
More to come probably in January, February, just because it's a slow time right now.
Great.
But yeah.
And my second question was, is there any updates on director searches?
No updates.
Okay.
No updates.
Anybody else have questions?
So for all of your open positions with drivers, are those all put under the same PCN so that when you are hiring for open drivers, is it able to take, you have multiple applicants that are eligible and you have multiple positions, one per, just want to make sure that that's the case.
Man,
I know that there's been voices about that in other parts of the municipality, and that there's been a push from the mayor's office to try and streamline some of that. So just wanted to hear if that was also.
We have tackled it from many angles, in that if you look at the job postings, there's actually 4 different postings for driver operators.
Right.
One is for multiple vacancies, others have different expiration dates, so that there is always one online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It has taken a while to get there.
Yeah.
Mark, what's the number of drivers again? 131 or something?
122 total.
Yeah. Built?
That's how many we have that we can hire. Right now we're at like 110-ish, 112.
122.
Yeah, I want to say we're at 112-ish. Yeah.
But that's partly because of the service change.
Not the shortage,
but I mean, I thought way back months ago, for some reason, that I had that number in my head too, 131. I thought Jamie said that was like the number that we had allocated at one time. No?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I must have whispered it to you.
Yeah, no, I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be checking the minutes.
Please do.
If there are no additional questions, we could move on to the data dashboard.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if I can put it up. I just want to show you that Nick added the on-time performance.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Floating. So up here at top now you have on-time performance by route. So if you want to look at whatever routes you can add them here. So this looks like the route 10. It's only 2024 right now, it looks like. So months, you can see the route 10 has been up and down, but still very, very low, 69% right now.
Wow.
The vertical lines are months?
The vertical lines are percentage. Yeah. Horizontal are the months down here. I think that the issue is the access over here is not very much, so it's only 2% difference, so it looks very volatile, but it is not. It looks like it's staying in the high 60s, early 70s, low 70s.
You need to stretch that, make that,
There we go.
Yeah, it gets better when you add other routes, which is...
Well, also, you need to make your...
What's the top performer?
make the graph a little bit bigger. When you've got it that
size, 41.
It looks really
yeah, it looks like the 41.
Cool.
And then so October is when we did the service change, and then we got the weather, so I don't know if that affects it, but
right.
Looks like November is still pretty low. Well, they're not in order, because it looks like the 92 also.
All right, they're in percentage order.
So yeah, he just added this, so we'll keep watching this, but our, where we strive to be is 85%, so we are way below.
There's room for growth.
Yeah. But yeah, it'd be good to watch this next month since the new running times are in place, so.
Excellent, okay. Thank you. I once again don't have anything to report. We were coming out of a holiday, going into a holiday. For January, we'll get our ducks in a row and have start working on our 2025 goals.
Yeah.
That's a document that we have that we take a look at annually. We might change everything, we might change nothing, but it's always a good idea to take a look at it.
Are there any other resolutions that we would either traditionally make or want to make at the head of the year to communicate that to, maybe not for us, for our planning, but say, like, hey, start of the new year, communication to other organizations, assembly, mayor's office, being like, hey, we haven't figured out our plan yet, but here's some of the things that we've been working on. Maybe that's something as well.
Yeah, we haven't traditionally, at least while I've been here, but that's a good idea. We normally, anytime there's election, an election, we'll send out a letter with with Totem to all of the new participants. Participants, elected officials.
Right.
And so that's sort of when we like introduce ourselves. So we will send, that's when we'll send our goals and purpose. We'll send a letter saying, congratulations, we're here.
Yeah, I just really loved Bart's, you know, basically a kind of report of the year, and it'd be nice probably to get something similar while we're trying to plan something. So whether or not that's drafting that and trying to have a plan for that in January or trying to get it done before January.
Is that, are those materials that'll go in the end of year postcard?
No, is that what it's called? System report card.
System report card.
Yeah.
Report card, that's the word, thank you.
Yeah.
Will those go in there, or is that more dated?
Christmas letters.
There's a page where all the divisions share, so it's like just high-level bullet points that are in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So yeah, I think it would actually be a really great idea. Once that comes out, but we can also start organizing based on the notes from this meeting, because they're recorded.
Cool.
Like a welcome to 2025 type of letter or resolution. Did you want to kind of spearhead that effort?
Sure.
Do you have room for that on your
on
your calendar? Okay, great. You're also next up for the right-of-way committee update.
Yeah, so I was one of the participating members. We also had CB there. He was also participating. A lot of this was just information gathering from all the participating members. The meeting was an hour of presentations from what they hope that the project will be, and it seems like for the most part the end result will be a document that is then provided to key stakeholders with recommendations from a professional team based on feedback from everyone. So it is not, say, a project that is going to end in some massive change of right-of-way. Is a project that is going to collect data over time that is then going to create basically our first right-of-way management strategy plan that has been informed by all these other stakeholders, both inside and me there participating as like a community member representing key stakeholder groups. A lot of the stuff that was talked about there was what are the benefits and drawbacks of our current right-of-way management study, what could it be potentially in the future, and what are huge challenges that have been faced, and what are some of the potential solutions. So there's a lot of mostly just spitballing by the different organizations that were there, and they collected all that, and in the next meeting they're going to kind of reduce that down to what I think they think is feasible and what they want to hear from the organization. So yeah, that was mostly it.
Okay.
Phoebe, did you want to say anything?
No, you nailed it.
Cool.
It's surprisingly how little they're meeting. I think they have another meeting in 9 months or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's going to be like key input points along the course, and so our role in like participating in the actual day-to-day planning of that like oversight was very minimal. They mostly just wanted like, hey, what are some out-of-the-box ideas? And I think it sounded like a lot of the people that were working on that project had a lot of really great ideas, but similar to us, like we don't want to be making those kind of like broad, like really like changing ideas to right of way without that public support. But it was also really great to hear from some of the organizations that had to do with housing, and there's a lot of stuff there regarding parking and access to that. And I tried my best to bring up some of the issues with snow maintenance and street maintenance when it came to its performance on buses. And same thing, because they were potentially talking about the roadway, some of the conversations that we've had about like increased right of way or like bus lanes and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. those flexible use options for the infrastructure that is already there that requires a more robust planning and like interaction like apparatus in between the state and the muni, and hoping that through developing some sort of hopefully like group task force in between the two, that they would be able to take feedback and allow for flexible uses that would benefit motorized, non-motorized, just everyone, and really making sure that they know what would be helpful from us. So if there's any ideas for the next meeting that you guys have, either send those to me or bring it up now. If there's ideas that you have regarding either parking, snow maintenance, or how the sidewalk or like areas beyond the sidewalk are being utilized, or restrictions and how that's being done, insight into that is great.
And there's some public presentation or
yes.
some public involvement in March?
Yes, so there will be opportunity to represent, to participate as members of the public as well. So
after our second meeting, then the public gets another second.
So hopefully that insight and heads up to any members here or members who read the minutes later, heads up about that meeting. And you know, as much as we can as board members and members of the public who want to advocate for transit, like making sure that the needs of transit when it comes to how our rights of way, parking, and snow management are treated are given the priorities that they need, and that is hopefully then communicated as more resources that can maybe be directed towards, since that's been even the small staff increase that we've had to the snow maintenance with public transit has been a huge benefit, and hopefully that can continue.
Two questions. So does this involve rights of way for all of the streets and roads,
yeah,
like within the borders
It is a strategy on how to navigate rights of way management with anything that has to do with the city or the state.
Okay.
So it is very broad, very encompassing, and they want to make sure that that strategy encompasses all the pain points that any one who's interacting with the right of way is experiencing. So that's why they wanted to hear from Public Transit Advisory Board and members of in their like internal muni conversations, people with the administration for public transit, to make sure that when they're developing a strategy, it's not somehow accidentally omitting that, hey, there should be like the ability to use rights of way to be able to benefit public transit, because like we are like, say a road is going from like one lane to two, well, could that lane that is usually used for snow storage, if it is cleared, could that be used as like bus drop-off, pick-up? Like, we want that to be options and not for that to be omitted from any potential plan.
Okay. Which answers my second question, which was sort of like, what are the practical implications day-to-day for just your average resident of the municipality?
Mm-hmm. The biggest ones are going to be their snow maintenance and parking. They're talking about, like, what are the current needs of parking? What are the strategies for managing parking in regards to that? Or like say like down 6th Ave where buses are having to stop in between parked cars, like what does that look like? That like there's part of that right of way that is dedicated to bus stops, like, you know, trying to navigate that and making sure that there is a strategy that like incorporates the feedback from all stakeholders and is, you know, finding ways to navigate that.
Okay. Does anybody else have questions, comments?
Mostly just the usual stuff about them clearing snow onto already cleared sidewalks.
Yeah, it was really great to hear from both like people participating and from the people spearheading that, that that was a major goal of theirs, was to make sure that there's a strategy in line for the snow maintenance and storage on sidewalks, and it was really great to hear from that. There's folks from like Bike Anchorage there talking about that, and again, CDU was there doing great representation for members of our community that have difficulty navigating and stuff like that. So really great feedback from all members that really had a lot of prioritization to that. So it was great to hear.
Great.
Well, weirdly, I had the opposite problem this week where they don't usually do this. They came and chopped all the ice off some sidewalks, mm-hmm. and then they pushed all that ice into the street, so there was no parking spots were blocked with big ice chunks. But eventually they went away too. So, and not experienced that before.
Just tossing it back and forth, sidewalk to street, sidewalk to street, right. No plan, strategy, just.
But soon, and by soon, I think, is it like an 18-month process?
That's like when the result of this planning process will then be handed to the officials for them to then implement over the upcoming years. So.
Okay. All right. So like. It's not on the docket for January or anything.
Mm-mm.
All right. Okay. If there are no additional questions or comments, we will move on to public comments. Are there any members? Oh, I'm sorry. Do we have any written comments?
No.
Okay. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Okay. Please state your name.
Hello. I'm Tanner. I am a social worker who works over at the newly established Providence House, which is over across from St. Elias Hospital. It's a senior living home for low-income individuals, and I work with almost every single person in that building. It's a building about 50 capacity, and quite a few of them have complained often to me about the lack of public transportation access. The nearest bus stop to their is about half a mile away, which is a bit much for them to walk. There's not a lot of walking infrastructure in that area either, so the sidewalks are often not even available, so it can make it very difficult to facilitate independence, which is the whole design of the apartment building. And they're also planning on, there's tentative plans from Providence House to put two more additional buildings, so potentially there'll be 150 of these types of individuals in that area. And I put in a request for a bus stop to be put into that area. I had it be put across from St. Elias, since I figured there would also be help for St. Elias. Probably would not complain about having bus access nearby either. But that was really the main thing of it. Just there's a lot of our elders that have difficulty accessing public transportation from that area, especially the low income. I think about 2% of the residents have personal vehicles. So. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have a question. What part of town is that?
Oh,
approximately?
Sort of midtown.
Okay.
Close by to here, down the road a little bit.
Okay.
So south of Tudor, east of C Street.
The closest route is, I believe, the Old Seward. There's a couple of bus stops along the Old Seward. I don't remember their numbers.
Used to be 60,
85, or on Tudor.
Thank you, my apologies. I don't have the answer to that question.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
It's probably equal walking distance to both, but it is.
Yes.
Yeah, half mile.
About equate distance, both half mile. Not great walking conditions in both directions.
No, either the sections are just terrible for walking.
Yes.
Is there anyone in this room who knows if that is on or near a transit corridor?
Mm, right.
Tudor is a transit corridor.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will say, we've heard this comment a lot. And the next route that we implement is the crosstown route that would go, I don't know if it's going to go from Muldoon,
right.
Or what do I think? The neighborhood, Mountain View. It'll go from either Mountain View or Muldoon. It will go across town to the airport, and it will somehow weave through that area along the way. Because there's also the community health center
right.
that has requested access to. So we need to find a way to hit all of those. But that is the next route. It, after we add back the frequency to the 25, then we implement a new route. According to Totem. But it will be reevaluated next year during the Totem update, which I am assuming would be a high priority for a future route.
Yeah, and it's great to hear of that as like potential priorities of like, hey, there are a lot of these nonprofit organizations that are trying to respond to like these housing needs by putting some of these like low-income housing options in places and trying to see however much we can try and align that work with trying to enable them to be able to take public transit.
Yeah. Is that St. Elias Hospital, is it served or is it a half mile away to
the same distance pretty much? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's a secondary inquiry along those lines. What would be the best I suppose modus operandi for me to take on to continue to pursue this? Should I continue to come to meetings? What would be the best way for me to approach that situation? Just I'm new to this, so apologies if I'm
not
engaging in faux pas.
No.
Not at all.
Nope. Coming to these meetings, great idea. And during public comment, if it's not on the agenda, you know, if we're not already talking about it, make a comment. If it is on the agenda, make a comment. Any action items, we generally have public comment before that as well. And then that is probably the best way board-wise, and keep an eye out for when they start reevaluating Totem at transit and make sure that you're available for some of those public involvement opportunities, which are usually pretty well published because your marketing team is fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the things they do with the Transit on the Move project is every 3 years, right, is there's a sometimes use a big wall and you list the there's a list of possible projects and people can come up and say, here's the one I'm most keen on. And so that's a really concrete form of public.
Yeah, this upcoming year is going to be a great chance for public feedback and input. So.
And the more people you know that you can drag in here to say the same thing.
I better still not put that fine a point on it.
But to that point, if you have residents who have comments, if they can put those in writing,
and
submit those, that's great feedback for both the department and for us.
Just through the official website comment sections, or
is that where we get our written comments from?
There's a what we call PTAB, Public Transit Advisory Board webpage, and there's a link to an email address there.
Yeah.
But the best way,
I actually sent that comment today.
Okay, cool.
Because I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it today.
Oh wow!
So I was surprised when they said there was no written comment.
Yeah,
I thought I did it before too.
It gets compiled.
Yeah, interesting.
I was afraid I was going to be somewhat redundant.
So I would say do that, but I guess first we're going to find your email from today.
Add it to the public record.
And then really
how my job works, I don't know when I'm available sometimes.
Joining our email list is the best way from the department's perspective. If you want to get involved in Totem, everything we do is pushed out via a monthly email, and then you'll know exactly when what meetings you need to show up to and when to kind of push this idea forward.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who would like to speak? All right, hearing and seeing none, we will move on to member comments, and we'll just start at the end of the table and work our way around. CB, you're up.
I want to thank the public for coming. It's always nice when you show up and you take time out of your night. I sent Bart an email. I'll just kind of recap what I sent him. The new signs that are going up along Northern Lights are way too high. And for the blind, low vision, there is a QR code, but your phone wouldn't even be able to see it. With our software, like seeing AI and these things, it'll say, you know, bus stop, and it'll be directed to the sign. Well, there's no way you're going to know it's up there. So I think that was a practice run or something.
Yeah, they're just a pilot. And we've gotten that kind of
out here. It's, you know,
everywhere.
This high, so I don't know what to do. We used to have incident reports. Is that online? I was always kind of interested in how many incidents we had on buses, and it seems to have fallen off.
I don't know if we've ever publicized it. You mean at this meeting?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was like in one of the graphs, you know?
Oh, well, we have that information, and we can start reporting.
I'm just curious if it, you know, a lot of public transportation gets a bad rap, and if you say, hey, no, we come to the meetings, there's no incidents, or incidents are lower than they've been, or high as they've been, you know?
Okay.
I think that's useful information.
We are working, the FTA is requiring all transit agencies to put together a plan for assaults on bus operators.
Mm.
So I'll be bringing that in January to show you guys our plan.
Yeah, so great time.
So that,
yeah.
I mean, it's not all incidents, but it's at least that aspect of it, because it's an issue nationwide. But yeah, we can start doing that.
Okay. And then lastly, I just wanted to ask the board, I asked Bart kind of an odd question, but Center for the Blind, part of the services we teach is orientation mobility, how to get around, and that includes the bus. And I asked, can I get a free pass for our instructor? Because she'll take a client to the bus stop from the center, they'll get on, they'll ride to their house, she'll walk them to the house, and then she'll get on the bus and come back. So $5 a day is not that big a deal, but I thought, it seems like it's increasing ridership.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get people to go on. Is there any incentivizing or anything we can do to help offset whatever the cost of a bus pass is?
Right.
So I don't know if the committee or the board has any ideas on that. And then lastly, my comment is blind sensitivity training. We teach that at the center. Might be something public transit would be interested in. If you're, it's basically for anybody that comes across blind low vision. So our biggest client is the railroad. And so every year we just go in and do an hour train. Very low cost, and any of the businesses around town, keep it in mind. But that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Yes, we would love that.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Pete?
I'm very impressed with the information you passed along. The folks are doing an amazing job. Just moving the office all by itself was very impressive. So, yeah, that's. That's something that you guys should be proud of. And thanks to everybody who's been working so hard to come up with these reports and sending us in the right direction on some of these projects. I think that the J-Bear transportation one is something that's been an issue for a very long time. And it's something that, you know, it's great that we're getting onto that and working on it. And thank you for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Doug?
I'm excited. Almost all positive news. It really seems like we're moving forward. And I got a sweater, so. That's it.
All right, cut.
Yeah. Great time to be looking at public transit because it's doing so many great things. It's really great to see all that and hear all the wonderful conversations that are happening at the meetings here and the energy that gets brought into these meetings. When it comes to trying to respond to CB's question, I think that I've heard that there has been some interest in trying to find new companies that would participate in like the free rides program that like the municipality participates in, but if that's not accessible or like feasible for either smaller scale operations or if there's like barriers there to be able to access a program like that, it'd be very interesting for the public for PTAB to be able to see if there's been quite a few either nonprofits or like entities that are trying to do that kind of connection work with trying to enable people with transit. Like I know like OCS does similar programs where they're just buying like huge like bundles of tickets and to see if there would maybe be a different type of like system that would work better with those nonprofits to be able to enable them to be able to both have better public transit for, you know, the people working with the organization, but also the people that they're working with. I know that like that buying the bundles of tickets like works for some organizations, but I've also heard like feedback saying that that is maybe a hindrance. So if there's maybe some middle ground in between trying to expand that type of program, you could totally see it where it's like, hey, like an organization is paying like a slightly discounted rate to like say we're issuing a certain number of passes to members who are like members of our organization that are like, hey, like, you need some help, we're going to issue, like, an ID badge that says, like, hey, we're representing you, we're trying to help enable you, and that kind of the same pass program that is available to some other, like, employers and stuff like that, seeing that kind of expanded would be interested, although the feasibility of that, but that's a wonderful thing for us to try and push for.
When you say OCS, you're talking about Children's Services?
Yeah, yeah, my wife used to work the front desk there, and they hand out passes, and like they would sometimes run out of their bulk pass of them, or there's like family members who regularly have to report to OCS, and they're like, oh, here's another 30-day pass, another 30-day pass, and they're in the program for like months and months and months, so it's like an extended period, so it's like, oh, here's your stack of like 10 tickets rather than some sort of like pass program that can either be on like a basis or whatnot.
Okay. Thank you, Nathaniel.
Cool. I'll just start by voicing my thanks for all the feedback on this initial report. It's been very helpful in actually producing a resolution, draft resolution for next month. Excited to see what this could turn into. It'd be kind of cool if we could get some
action
on this. So, like, what seems very fast, or what could be very fast. Other than that, yes, thank you again to the members of the public who came out tonight, and yeah, that's all I got.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to echo again the thank you to folks who came out tonight, and we really appreciate your feedback. It's really important and helps inform, you know, how we move forward with our advocacy and decisions we make, so thank you for that. I'm also super excited to hear that transit is back in their home, and I am so impressed with how fast that went. I can't, like, it's hard to wrap my mind around how quickly
that all happened. It's crazy that we were gone for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Just took a month and a half to get back.
Right, and now you're just here back home.
Yeah.
I am also interested to see that plan that you're turning into with the FDA
mm-hmm.
regarding protection plans for assaults on drivers. I think we could also have a role in having some advocacy on that as well. I'm really looking forward to 2025. I think it's going to be a great year. It looks like we are building, you know, a city and a services to help our elders age in place. Transit is a really important part of that. So I'm excited to do that work and to work with the transit team, who's just done amazing things. And thank you for this sweater. I'm so excited about this sweater. all right, and with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn if there are no further comments.
So moved.
Moved by CB. A second?
I second.
Second by Peter. If no objections, we are adjourned at 6:51. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you for the
sweater. Yeah,
no. Okay. And if there are folks who showed up later, we have sweaters.
It's like when you're at a restaurant and you know you're drawn to the sweater.